You know, God put something on my heart a while ago. Just a little explanation, and I just believe, I just hope that I can put what's in God's put in my heart into your heart this morning. I feel so strongly that God has a word for you this morning. And what happened was, a couple of years ago, Elaine and I heard a song, and we really, really loved this song. It really meant something to us. And then we heard it again a little while longer, a couple of months ago. And we'd already asked some time back whether we could have this song and kind of song list. And nothing happened. And then we asked Astrid a few weeks back, and he said about this song. Because God had put in my heart to speak about being a child of God. And if Rafe could put up that bit, I am a child of God. And as we've been singing that, there have been moments when people have sensed, have really come to me, I am a child of God. And I just want to talk a bit about that this morning. This is what it says in John chapter 1. To all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a status, not a reward. Okay? It's what you are. Okay? It's not what you learn. It's who you are. It's gained not by anything we've achieved, but by trusting in what Jesus achieved by dying on the cross and rising up. Okay? This is what it says in the first letter of John. It says this: how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. I'll repeat that. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And then the next bit says this, because John wanted to emphasize it. It says this: and that is what we are. And that is what we are. And that status as a child of God is very much like that of anyone's child. No matter what you're like, no matter what you do, how clever you are, whatever, it's what, you're still your parents' child, right? I mean, you just are your parents' child. It's what you are by birth, and that status is yours. Whatever happens, it's still your parents' child. And we're all equally God's children, if we put our trust in Jesus. All equally. If one of your children is clever and another not so clever, if one's sporty and one's absolutely useless in sport, if one is good on computers, whatever it is, okay, any ability or lack of ability, your children are all equally your children, aren't they? You know, one of them isn't more your job because he does more of this or less of that. All equally your children. Yeah? That's the way it works. Yeah. I mean, Andrew and Rachel are equally Dave and Judith's children. They're very different. Rachel has never shown me her belly at a shop window. Whereas I assure you, Andrew has. You all heard it here. I'm waiting. Equally, God's children. No one here is more a child of God than any other person. That's how strong it is. That's the strength of the status.
Yep.
I've got three children. The youngest, Tom, is 23. The oldest, Lucy, is 39. And I'm like, yeah, that might have you laugh. Ellie's in between. I'm going to spurt her blushes and ask her how old she is. Okay, she'll tell you afterwards. Everyone ask her, please. Now, it doesn't matter that Lucy's been my child for 39 years and Tom for only 23. They're both equally
wonderful.
Yeah. Totally equal. Okay? I was baptised in that baptistry over the back there 46 years ago this month. That 18th of July, 1971. You've known me that long, Derek. I'm aging better than you. Just I can say that with my soul. Okay. Do you know what? I'm no more a child of God after those 46 years than the last people to get baptized
in. Yeah. Yeah.
Or someone who becomes a Christian today.
Yeah.
I am a child of God. You are a child of God. And I believe that God wants that to really be in you today, to hold on to it. If you've given your life to Christ Jesus, you can stand on the words of that song, and you can truly say, I am a child of God.
Yeah.
If you think, I don't deserve it, I'm not good, it's got nothing to do. Okay? I'm sure Emily at times says, do you know what, Dad? I don't deserve to be your daughter. I'm sure she has moments like that, you know? And I can understand that.
What did I do wrong?
Yeah, it's so right, you're the guy. Okay. Yeah. But do you know what? It's not a question of deserving. It's what God has done for us.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on how you feel. It's not dependent about what's happening in your life.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on your position in society.
Yeah.
You are a child of God. And not only does this help you to know who you are, but it helps you to realize who the other people around you are. Because the other people around you are your brothers and your sisters, and they really are your brothers and sisters, if we are all children of God. That's right.
Yeah.
So, when you look around you, Jesus said we should love one another as he loved us. He said, by this all men will know you are my disciples. You really are part of a family of God. The song says that, doesn't it? I've kind of forgotten the words of the song as I was kind of putting it together. But you know, it comes out in the song as well. We're part of a family. And that's so special. And as part of the family, we support each other, encourage each other, and as Jesus has asked us to love each other. We're all children of God, but we really are born into a new family, a special family. And it's not just restricted to the members of this church. You're part of a worldwide family of God.
Yeah.
And there's a local, you know, the local expression of that in all the different local churches. And it was great work. You know, Jude was saying about resume. Because, this was put into my heart yesterday as well, as I was kind of going over this. Do you know, when you come to Resume tonight, you will meet your brothers and sisters from other local churches.
Yeah.
It's a family get-together.
Yeah.
It's a family celebration. Yeah. We've invited the relatives, okay?
Yeah.
And they're coming over.
Yeah.
And they're coming over for encouragement. And to join in that family love and to worship our Father God.
Yeah.
Let's be here for them. Oh, yeah, well, I'm busy doing this, that, and the other. Yeah, that's cool. But hey, there's a party on tonight. invited. Come along. Join the family. And encourage those other people in the family as well. Make them feel good. Because I don't know about you, but in my family, I like to do what I can for my kids. I like to do what I can in my family to treat Lainey the best I can. She probably thinks it's time to worry about it. But nevertheless, you know, it's what family is about, isn't it? To do the best we can for each other, to love each other. So come along. Come along to that family celebration as well. And I just want to say as well that this relationship is a secure one. As children of God, it's a kind of immovable status, okay? It's great. You know, I will always be my mum and dad's child, even though they're no longer even with me. You know, if my kids never bother to do a family tree, there I'll be, underneath my mum and dad. Yeah? And you know, Jesus says this. He says this in Hebrews. It's quoted in Hebrews. Here I am, and the children God has given me. And in John's Gospel, it says this, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And this is the bit I really like, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Jesus loves you so much. You know, parents here, you know what it's like if someone has a go at your kid. Yeah? You know what it's like if you think things aren't fair for your child. Yeah, fist went in there. Yeah, too right. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, you stick up for your kid, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as a teacher, I've had parents stick up for their kids when kids were way wrong, you know. But it's just a natural thing. You know, God's the same. God sticks up for you. God's on your side. He's looking out for you. You are a child of God. And love that bit that no one can smash it out of my hand. It's almost like a war cry, isn't it? It's almost like a, just try. You know? Because that's Jesus and God. That's his love for us. And Paul reminds us about this. It's a favourite passage of mine, so I make no apologies for saying this again. Paul reminds us that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, I like that bit. You know what? What's happening to us and what we're afraid might happen to us are very big things in our lives, aren't they? But neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor neither height, Dave, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
That is brilliant, isn't it? No wonder, as that song says, we should be no longer slave to fear. The world around us may wobble. We are secure in Christ. We may be concerned about what people think of us. Before I became a Christian, an art coach, there were all sorts of fears that I had. I may not put them down as fears necessarily, but I'm sure some of these resonate with you. You know, what do I look like? You know, that's what kids say. Am I cool? You know, do people like me? You know, how am I going to get on? Am I going to pass the sixth exam? Will this tutor like my work? What job am I going to get? All sorts of stuff. So many things that we can be feared about. But you know, that has gone now. Because I am a child of God. And, you know, I'm no longer a slave to fear. He writes to the Romans, he says, and that's where the inspiration from the song comes from. It says this: for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive, and you receive that Spirit when you became Christian. You were born again of the Spirit. Does not make you a slave again to fear. That's where it says, God's perfect love casts out fear, because you can know that you are secure in Him, and that you have something guiding you through life, and that it doesn't depend on whether you pass exams. It's great to pass exams, I'm not kind of missing that at all. It's not everything anymore. It's not the whole thing. God has got my future in His hands. He's got your future in His hands. Do you know what? Amy needs to know that, don't she? And Mark and Jill with all that stuff, I tell you, they're in our life group. And we've been praying so much. I have confidence that God has got their lives in His hand. I'm confident. Fears may come, but you're no longer a slave to them. You're part of God's plan. You're a child of the God who knows what's best for you. You need to hold on to that. You have to think what it is to be a child, and then to be a child of God. Now, I want to go slightly over on a different tack at the moment. See, part of being a child of God is fulfilling God's creation plan, that you are made in His image. You know, we are sadly, randomly, you know, she has some of my genes in DNA, okay? She looks much prettier than I do, okay? But we have, if you like, God's DNA in us. And that's not necessarily, it's not how we look. It's that spiritual person that we are. And things have gone wrong in the world. But God has brought His people together. He's made us children of God. And He wants us to reflect His image. Not just back to Himself, but to reflect His image to the world around us. We are the children of God, and people need to see God's image in us. They need to recognize the Father working in our lives. We need to act like children of God. Now, last week, and I'm fessing up here to pinch it. Someone's talk. Because last week, last Sunday, it's my 65th birthday. Okay? 65 years old. I know I have a birthday. It's cool. But I was 65, and somehow there's something about being 65. It used to be the retirement age for men. And somehow, it kind of feels like, you know, do I wind down? Do I stop doing this? You know, you start thinking about different things. But God speaks to us all through our lives. We're lifelong learners as Christians. He never stops talking to you. And He put a bit of perspective in my life last week. And I'm going to apologize to Jeff now, because I've put something on the board, and I meant to get a copy for you, Jeff. I will get a copy so you can see it, okay? So I don't know whether you will be able to. Would you put that diagram up, please?
Smash problem.
There's a little diagram up there. There's no asterisk here.
Not on here.
No, we don't.
It's not on the system.
Damn it.
It's good to see everyone running together. That's not embarrassing, but let's all look around now. Oh it's a bit difficult to point this out, but I don't have a diagram.
We want to see the diagram.
Yeah. I'm just going to
Two seconds.
Sit down for a moment. Okay. Just kind of get that into it, that you are a child of God.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Here we go. Oh, no.
Please put the diagram on.
Do we need to take the other bit off the thing?
There it is.
No, but do we need to not to take 5% off the thing?
It's nearly there. Give us a second. Give us a second.
I feel a couple of tension. Yes! Oh, yes. Yeah, you're probably thinking that wasn't worth waiting. It was a really good time. Yes. Trust me, that's life is full of disappointments. Yeah, right. Okay. You know, when you become a Christian, and there's a great truth that what matters most is your personal relationship with God. Okay? And especially in evangelical churches like this, that's what it's about. I am a child of God, and really that's what we've talked about, maybe, isn't it? And that's what it's really important. But that's kind of how I suppose I often looked at things. You know, my personal faith, my Bible study, my praying, my doing this, my doing that, and there's many. And so I became a Christian and had a personal faith. And then, like all of us, you join a church. You join a church, and you might do some stuff in that, and you might not do some stuff in that, but you join a church and you become part of that. And then, kind of, the next thing that happens is that maybe you start thinking about missionary stuff. Maybe you get a compassion child, or maybe you go on a mission, or pray for missionaries, or that stuff, or may not. You know, the reality is, I think that's probably how my faith sometimes has panned out. Okay? I might be wrong here, but I think that's probably something. And I think the whole business of me being 65, kind of, I was thinking of things in that way. Can we have the next one, please? He says, putting his faith in. Right. But here's the reality. The reality of it is that God's plan was for the world. God's plan was for eternity. And in that, his plan for the world, he has his people, the church. But his people. And in that, he's been pleased for me. I'm part of that. I'm in the middle of that. And that makes me think of things completely differently. It's both challenging and it's a thrill. I am part of God's mission for the world. As a child of God, I am part of God's mission for the world. I may only do a few bits here and there and whatever, but that is all part of God's mission for the world. And I've got a shock for you, you're part of that as well. Yeah. You may only do a bit here and you may think that, but that's God's plan. It's not just for you. You are a child, but it's not just for you. And it's not just for this church. It's bigger than that. And you're part of it. And do you know what? The scary bit is, wow, me? of this? But do you know what? It says something in that song that helps us out. It says, and it's already been said today, you split the sea so I could walk right through. Yeah? There is nothing too big for you. Yeah. The children of Israel, God's people, sent with Moses, come to the Red Sea. The Egyptians are behind them. And their way ahead has got the sea. And God splits the sea so they can walk right through it. They mess up a bit, okay? They mess up a bit and they end up walking around in the wilderness. But when they're finished, they come to the River Jordan. They come to the river. And God, again, makes a way through so they can get through to that promised land. Do you know, God splits the sea so we can walk right through it. He's given us the power. We are children of God. We are in His family. We are part of His plan. He loves us. He's with us. He gives the power to do things, not just for us, for our church, but for the whole world. It's a big deal, isn't it? And you are part of that big deal. It's a wonderful thing that you are a child of God and you need to embrace that. But it's a challenge as well because you are part of God's mission to the world. Every one of you, it's like a family responsibility. It's like trying to get your kids to do the dishes sometimes. I reckon God thinks, you know. Okay, Emily looks at Sam with a kind of knowing look. Okay. Yeah. So, I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to sing that song. And you'll see words come up in that song that I hope remind you of some of the key parts of what I've said. You are children of God. You are part of God's plan. Father God, we humbly thank you that you sent your Son to die for us so we can be part of your eternal family. We don't know why you picked us. We've no idea. But you have. And we can't believe that we are part of such an enormous plan, but we are. And we thank you. And we ask, Father God, for everybody here today to know who they are in you. And to no longer have that fear of the future. No longer feel the guilt from the past, but to realize that they are loved. How great the love of God lavished on us so much that we can be called children of God. Thank you, Father. Amen.